I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's good to be here again this morning, isn't it? It's good to hear from a number of you. You know, sitting there thinking about Steve and Mark coming back and all their experiences in Haiti. Don't think I see Tim out there. He's not here this morning, but in a week's time, he lost his mother. Gone. And Karen, I think I saw here this morning, lost her father this week. In 1 week's time, we come from all kinds of different varied experiences, don't we? Just interesting. Let's just take a moment and stand and pray together. Can we do that? Lord, you're Almighty God, and we thank you. Even though two precious souls went into eternity this week, that are close to the hearts of some here in our congregation, we recognize your goodness and your grace. Thank you for the many ways that you lead us in life and that you're good today. And we pray that your goodness would truly reach down to this young man who is trying to find his way in the drug world, Lee Hassel. Father, we lift him up to you and pray that he could find his way in the grace of God, along with everyone else that is here this morning. Father, our hearts are turned towards you today, and we commit our lives to you. We ask, Lord, you bless this part of the service. Take the things in my heart and somehow help me to express my burden today in a way that could be understood from the youngest to the oldest among us. Your way is perfect, and we commit our lives to you. And commit this worship to you. You're worthy of all that we can give you. And we thank you and commit our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, I trust you come today with your cups turned up. And I see many faces and I see that on your faces. And those of you that your cups aren't turned up, I pray that you would turn your cups up this morning. I'd like to speak as practical and simple as I can. I feel like that's what God has given me this morning. This may be a weakness of mine, and I'll just say it the way it is. It's very common for me, when I'm on schedule to preach, to have a lot of loose ends to pull together at the last minute. I'm just not one of those that can pull ends together long before. I try and often get very frustrated. It's very common for me to even Saturday night to go to bed with a lot of loose ends and get up early in the morning and trust God will help me pull ends together. And that was one of my situations this morning. And I just feel that God, in His great mercy, gave me a title that is very simple. And I trust as we go along, I can unburden my heart and share why I chose the title I did. Now, before I say what the title is, I will share as I go through the Beatitudes. This is number 6. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This morning, I'd like to give a title, very simple, called Seeing God. And I trust as I go along, I can somehow unburden my heart what I mean as it relates to seeing God. I hope you can forgive me for giving a bit of a negative introduction to what I'm going to share this morning. But I felt that God gave this to me this morning as I pondered last evening. My wife was at a seminar for ladies seminar here on the other side of Ephrata. I think there was at least one other sister from the congregation that was there. And she came home in the afternoon and was just sharing different things with me that were shared there. And she shared one incident with me, and I don't know a lot of details of the incident, but I'd like to give it here this morning, and then as we go along, unburden the possibility of what could have happened. So she shared with me that, I think it was the sister that was sharing at the sisters' get-together, was a single lady. Her husband left her years ago. One day she married supposedly a godly young man. And they were early on in their wedded life together when things began looking a bit unsettled. In fact, I'll give you the end now. What I understand it to be is the man lives locally about 6 miles away from where she lives with another woman. Things began looking a bit unsettled in this situation. And the day came, I don't know what all for water went over the dam, but early in their wedded life together, the day came where all of a sudden she realized she's living with a husband who is questioning the existence of God. And that led to eventually him leaving her. And it leaves a young wife raising the question, whatever happened? And we can raise those questions and say, whatever happened? It was a little discouraging to me, I'll be honest with you. I don't fault for my wife for what she was saying to me last evening. But she shared with me that one of the sisters that she had known as a friend for many years had shared with her her view, not her view, but her concern. Why in our Anabaptist churches do we have so much brokenness? And then went on to share that it seems in our Anabaptist churches, the leaders don't have what it takes to counsel all the complicated situations. That's pretty overwhelming, isn't it, Carl, Nathan? To know that there's sisters out there that are questioning, it seems that we don't have what it takes to work through all the difficult situations. Now, that's a little bit something big for me to go to bed on last night, isn't it? Well, I'd like to tell you this morning, my heart is encouraged more than that. May I just say it that way? So I'd like to unburden my heart this morning. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I could ask you this morning to raise a question. Are you pure in heart this morning? Raise a question. What does it mean to be pure in heart? For they shall see God. For they shall see God. Pure in heart. I'll give you the meaning of pure. To have a clean heart. To be unsoiled. Unmixed. Unpolluted. To be cleansed. To be purged. To be forgiven. To be pure. To have a single purpose. That of the glory of God. So this verse tells us that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Scripture says, different times it says things like that. It says Selah. I'm going to say this morning, Selah. Let's stop. Let's pause. Let's think. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, I'd like to consider there's two different ways, at least my mind goes, when I think of seeing God. What does Revelation tell us? It tells us that I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the book according to their works. So that scripture tells us everyone's going to stand before God one day, right? Everyone's going to see God. Everyone's going to see God. Matthew 25 tells us the same thing when it talks about all nations gathered before God. And we believe that, don't we? There are two wonderful promises made to the pure in heart. The pure in heart shall see God. Well, I'd like to look at the two different ways of seeing God. Eternally, the pure in heart shall see God face to face. They shall see Him and behold His face. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I also know, even as I am known." John 3:2, a verse we're familiar with, says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him in that day as He is." I am looking forward to that day when I can see Him as He is. The pure in heart shall see God. They shall stand before God, justified, and see God. Well, there's another way that we can consider this verse. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known." I'd like to refer to Hebrews 11:27 says, "For by faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but he endured as seeing him who is righteous. Moses forsook Egypt, even though he didn't see him. By faith, he saw him. I'd like us to think about that this morning. So is God calling us to a sinless perfection? Is that what God is calling us to this morning? Not one of us need ever expect to attain to the standard of purity held forth in the Bible by striving in our own strength and effort to be like Christ. How many of you tried that? It won't work. It doesn't work, does it? Romans 7:12 tells us, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Romans 10:3 talks about, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. We think of purity and we think of holiness. We think of God, don't we? That is our God. I'd like to look at an Old Testament account now. You can turn to Isaiah 6, familiar passage and familiar scripture. We're just going to look at Isaiah 6 and his experience. He saw God. Isaiah 6, you can turn there. Yeah, I'm going to read at this time 1-4. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. It's amazing what Isaiah saw here. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Even the angels in the presence of God cover their face. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. I don't know that you or I or any of us would have had any different response other than what Isaiah did at God. He saw God in his purity and his holiness. That is God. And it's hard for us to connect with such a holy God, isn't it? But you know, there is a God this morning that we can connect with. Jesus Christ modeled the purity in the person of Jesus Christ. He came to earth and identified with us his purity, his holiness, that we can wrap our minds around, and that we see in Hebrews chapter 2. If you want to turn there, you can keep your Bible open there to Isaiah, because I think we're going to be going back there. But just going to the book of Hebrews for a little bit, 2 and verse 9 for a reference. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Jesus Christ came to earth, and that we can identify with his purity, his holiness. So this morning, what is the purity that God is calling us to? Blessed are the pure in heart. Ezekiel 36 and 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'd like to just continue reading a few more verses now in Isaiah 6, if you're still back there. Isaiah chapter 6, and look at the response of Isaiah. I read up to verse 4. I'm going to read 5, 6, and maybe 7. This is Isaiah's response. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongues of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Makes me think of Ephesians chapter 1. Thine iniquity is taken away, thy sin is purged. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 talks about the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand. That purity will be ours in Jesus Christ. 1 John 3 verses 1 through 3, I already read verse 2, but I'm just going to read it together in all three verses. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Do you have that blessed hope in the Lord Jesus Christ that is purifying your heart today, even as He is pure? The way of holiness and purity is clearly set forth. Titus 2:14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hebrews 4:15 and 16, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It is possible this morning for the weakest of mortals to walk in paths of righteousness and true holiness. It is possible this morning. I'd like to look this morning at two different aspects of this subject relating to our purity and holiness. You know, the one I'd like to look at in pretty simple terms is simply what God does in the heart of mankind when there's true repentance and faith, what Jesus Christ does. And I want to be biblical this morning. And the other part, I want to talk about what is man's responsibility this morning. And I would like to answer the question somewhere as I go along here, as I think of that story that I gave you this morning, with whatever happened to that man who, we have a young bride one day married and several years into the marriage is questioning the existence of God. And we all know of many of those types of stories that happened in our circles. Not that I'm thinking of any in particular, but I believe there has been many of those kind of stories that one day sat right where you and I are sitting. And today, they're way out there. And it is a sad commentary of things that are happening. And I don't know all the reasons that causes those kind of tragic situations that happen. I don't know. But this morning, I'd like to give us some encouragement. Stay with me. I think as we go along, you understand. God's responsibility. What happened to Isaiah? He saw God. This is an Old Testament account. He saw God. He says, woe is me, I'm undone. He recognized his undoneness, and he dwells in the midst of a people of unclean lips. His eyes saw the holiness of God. And one of the seraphims comes to him having a live coal in his hand that he took off the altar, and he said, he laid it on his mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips. Thy iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged. You know, this morning, if I would ask you, sitting here, don't raise your hand. Is your iniquity purged? Is your sin taken away? I would hope most of us would raise our hands. We believe the Bible, don't we? We believe in Jesus Christ. Our iniquity is purged. Our sin is taken away. Faith repentance, justification, regeneration, the imputed righteousness of God in the person of Jesus. Justice has been met. The payment has been made. And we're free. Do we believe that? I do. I do. Amen. What a blessing. It's easy. Count me in. Isn't it that easy? Do you remember that day? James back there, he's raising his hand. I'm going to use you for an example a little bit later in the message. You may keep your hand up. Yes. Amen, we believe that. Isn't it a glorious gospel this morning? That man can get saved. We could go to just about any church in the community and we could hear something about that. And we say, yes, I'm in. Once guilty, condemned, strangers from the covenants of promise. But now things have changed. I'm in. Praise God. So whatever happens that causes such tragedy is the question that I'd like to answer at some point here, possible. The price of our redemption is paid. We're justified. Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Romans 5:1, these are familiar verses we all know. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There's nothing more beautiful that can happen than that, is there? Peace with God, by whom we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What an amazing Savior that we can drink of that water of the fountain of life. I'll give you an example of that. I don't know how many of you have ever got water up here on Coquelico Road, just north of Coquelico. Partway up over the mountain at Peach Sherp. Pure water. The water of life. Jordan and I were on a bike ride the other day and we hiked up the mountain right up above that place and we came down from there and I was dry. And there's free water. That's the free water that we can drink. The water of life. Have you drank of that water of life? There is a purity and a holiness to pursue now. One of the definitions of pure is, I read it here, to have a single purpose, and that is the glory of God. To have a single purpose. Matthew 22. Let's just talk a little bit about that single purpose, then I'd like to get into the meat of some of the things I'm going to share. But I would like to elaborate on the single purpose. Matthew 6, I'm sorry, 22. I said Matthew 22. Matthew 6 and 22. One of the definitions, as I said, of purity is having a single purpose. The light of the body is thine eye, and if thine eye therefore be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if the eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. I'd like to just make reference this morning in John Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress. I think there is someone in that book that he calls Mr. Facing Both Ways. From the city of Spare Speech. From the city of Fair Speech. Mr. Facing Both Ways. I just like to talk about lives totally and wholly, 100% committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Harold, for the devotional this morning as we realize what Christ has done for me to come to Him with such a single heart for God. We don't need to turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, but that's where Elijah, I believe it was, on the Mount Carmel experience. He said, choose you this day who you will serve. You know, it is so easy this morning to go down that road, if I can say it this way, of compromise. It is so easy when it comes to the practical outworking of the faith to go down that road of compromise. If we can get this one straight, we'll have conquered a big battle. Completely and wholeheartedly committed to Jesus Christ. I don't know if I ever shared this here with you or not. I know I shared already the testimony of how my wife and I came to faith at the Church of Faith. And it was early the following week. It was on a Sunday we gave our lives to the Lord. And it was early the following week we went over to Levi Brubaker's for apples. And one of the brothers from church met me there. It was Raymond Burkholder. And he looked me up. And he came to me and he wanted to make sure I understood that commitment that I made to Jesus Christ isn't a simple commitment of faith and then you just go live your life. It is a life devoted to Jesus Christ. It is a life of commitment. It's a life of purpose. It's a life of single-mindedness, of living for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd just like to share with us this morning, you know, it's so easy to go down a compromising road. I'd like to read just a few verses in light of that. Deuteronomy 4 verse 9 says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons and thy daughters, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen." To keep our soul diligently is our responsibility. Jude 21 says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Hebrews 2:3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" James 2:22, "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect." I titled the message, "Seeing God." And the reason I titled the message, "Seeing God," here is the question that I'd like to ask all of us this morning. You know, the day my coming to faith was a journey. My coming to faith was a journey. I had incredible needs. But I remember the day when I came to a place. No, I didn't see what Isaiah saw. I didn't see that. I didn't have an Isaiah experience. But my heart became clear. And I saw God. This morning, that is the question I'd like to ask us this morning. Is it clear? Do I see God? You know, I gave you that incident of that man who one day his wife realized, "I'm living with a man that is questioning the existence of God. Doubting the existence of God. I believe he even said, 'I don't believe there is a God.'" And we say, "How did that happen?" You know, that didn't happen overnight. That didn't happen overnight. Those things, I believe, begin to happen. One day there's clarity there. And then it's not so clear. And then it's not so clear. And then it's not so clear. And after a while, in fact, I'll do it this way. This is a line. And we'll put black. This is very, very simple and basic. And white over here. The white representing clear. When we can see things as they are and we can see God. And you know, it's very easy for us to move over here. And eventually things become gray. What begins to happen? And then after a while it is gray. And then it's eventually black. And we no longer see God. I don't believe for a minute that man. In fact, I would even question whether he is an atheist. I believe he lost sight of what he once saw. And you know, it's overwhelming to me this morning to think of the many that at some point in their life, they see clearly. And then after a while, you begin seeing shifts and changes begin happen and things begin getting gray. And I want you to know, from the time I gave my life to the Lord, things got gray sometimes. Things got gray sometimes. But bless the Lord, we can always come back till we can see clear. You know, this morning I'm not lifting up a perfect Christian life. That's totally overwhelming. I realize the way I started this message this morning could be overwhelming. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Count me out. That's not me. But in Jesus Christ, we become pure. And when we live that kind of life, that kind of openness, a life of repentance when repentance needs to happen, a life of taking the lid off when things need to be taken off, we can live in purity. You know, this morning there is hope for every soul that is sitting here that you can live a life like that. Rather than that life of gray. I want to tell you a sad story now. This goes back a lot of years. In my early wedded life. In fact, it was over the time where God began its stirrings in my life. I drove truck at that time. And there was about three of us. Four of us together. We would often go on trips together. We had the loads that we hauled. We'd run together. And we had a lot of fellowship. We had two-way radios. We could communicate privately. And we had a lot of good, rich, spiritual encouragement. One day I was out. Somerset area. We were together. This man was loading his truck. And we had rich fellowship. Because of the situation, just was conducive for me to do it. I pulled his truck front while he was loading it. And there was something laying between the seats that should have never been there. Pure pornography. Do you have spiritual vision? He was shamed. You know, when those kind of things happen in our life, it's gray. That man today yet dresses like he always did, wears the suit he always does, drives the right color car, and goes to church. I don't know where he's at. We hear the statistics and we hear the numbers from time to time of men that are into that garbage. And it's not clear. And life gets gray. I don't know all the reasons this morning. Why this man, of course, got to a place where he said there's no God, but he definitely lost sight of God. You know, it's far too easy to come to church and wear the right kind of smile, put the right kind of appearance, the right everything. Amen, brother, be a phony. May that not be so among us. I personally believe the church has gotten too used to living in the gray. That is why we have sisters saying, all the complicated marriage situations that we have in our churches, we're not prepared to handle. And I say, yeah, we're not if we're trying to put a temporary band-aid on them. But I believe there's a fix. I believe this morning that there's a fix. I believe we need more brokenness. We need more openness. We need more honest confession. We need more repentance. We need it. Taking the lid off, saying, that's me. I would to God that man that had that magazine laying between the seats would have done just that. I believe he could have salvaged his situation. By the way, today he has a son who left his wife for another one. And the last thing I want to do this morning is inflict pain on pain. Some of you have had difficult journeys too with your children. I'm not always saying it's because there was a fault in a parent. But I do believe when there is long-standing issues and men who aren't willing to face up to the darkness that is in their own soul, we have tragedy after tragedy. There's far too much brokenness in our circles today. 1 Timothy 5:21, if you'll turn there, please. You know, as I reminded you, we embrace this great salvation, the work that Christ did. But what about our responsibility? This is what Paul told Timothy, 21 and 22. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one another, to do nothing by partiality, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure. Purity of life. He keeps himself unspotted from the world. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I think that's what Paul was telling Timothy. Don't be a partaker of other man's sins. Keep yourself pure. You know, dear people, dear young people especially, all of us older ones alike, this world puts incredible pressure on the Church of Jesus Christ. And if I may recommend to us this morning, it's not just effort of the world out there. You know, almost every church has an element of the world of some sort in it that we need to keep ourselves pure from. And I'm amazed far too often how the world creeps itself in other churches. And then all of a sudden we have another church down the road that has adapted this fad or fashion or whatever it is. Wouldn't Jesus Christ say the same thing to us here this morning? Let's just keep ourselves pure. Let's focus on Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Why do I say these things this morning? You know, I think it's a beautiful blessing when we can just live in the open, clear heaven rather than allowing ourselves to become, our souls to become darkened and gray, and want to move over there just a little closer. And I'm not scolding any of us this morning. I deal with the same things you do. This world puts pressure on us. But oh, the blessing that we can keep ourselves this morning unspotted and stay clear. He washes his heart from his wickedness. Jeremiah 4:14, wash thine heart from wickedness that thou mayest be saved. How long will you allow vain thoughts to lodge within you? He obeys the truth through the working of the Holy Spirit, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. He keeps his hands clean. He hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing of the Lord and the righteousness of God, his salvation. Lastly, he seeks to be without spot and blameless. Therefore, seeing ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. Keep a pure heart. I'd like to turn to Colossians chapter 3, if you'll turn there, please. A pure heart. What does Scripture say? For out of it are the issues of life. You know the blessing of keeping a pure heart, totally and wholly devoted to Jesus Christ. I'm not going to make a lot of comment, but this is a beautiful chapter. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked in them when you lived in them. But now ye have put off these things. Anger. You know, anger is so destructive. I hear it over and over and over of young people. The brokenness, the fear, the whatever you want to call it, because of anger. An angry father. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge of him, after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. So do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You know, I'd like to just recommend to us this morning, this world is not our friend. Can I just recommend that to us this morning, especially as young people finding our way? We know the familiar scripture, 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, I'm convinced if we could see this world with all its driving forces behind it, we would run from it. For all is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Romans 8, 4 through 6, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. A pure heart. The need this morning to keep our heart pure. I'd like to look at another practical outworking of this thing with living in the light and not in the gray. I'd like to talk just a little bit, and I'm not going to talk much about this because we recently had a message about our conscience. About our conscience. You know, just that in itself, keeping our conscience clear. What did Peter say? I think it was Peter in Acts 4:16. Herein do I exercise myself to have always. Young people, I would recommend, if you're comfortable writing in your Bible, take your pen and write always. Always. You know, if we would just practice that one, could you imagine the difference that that would make in our churches? That man who got to a place in his life where he questioned the existence of God, do you think his life would have ended up any different? One day, that young bride married a man. I don't know the story. But oh, the blessing of keeping a conscience clear and clean. Don't let your conscience just be a nagging voice. You know something that's so easy to adapt? How many of you have ever heard or maybe said it yourself? Well, yeah, I struggle in this area, but everyone struggles. What is wrong with that picture? I don't want to lift up something that's too high that I don't. You know, it's all right. We all struggle. I'm trusting the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I don't want to take that thought to an extreme. I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. But can we get a hold of God and those areas that we know and nobody else knows? Is there grace to do business with God in those areas and keep a pure heart. You know, sometimes I fear, I'm just going to speak honestly now, and I worry. Maybe worry isn't the right word. Concern would be better. When I hear of how much darkness exists behind the scenes in our circles, and that I wonder, how is everything here at Ephrata? I feel a little responsible. And I'd just like to remind us this morning, if that would happen to be us, whatever the situation is that nobody else knows, keep a pure conscience. Purity of thought. Purity of thought is a huge one. I read the verse before, but I'll read it again. Jeremiah 4:14. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall vain thoughts lodge within thee? Keep a pure thought life. Can I just talk about that practically this morning? Keep a pure thought life. You know, the things that we think, in fact, you probably heard the saying already, we're not what we think we are, but what we think is what we are. Is what we are. The things that we think is what we are. Put a guard this morning on our thought life. It doesn't need to be in the gray or in the dark. As 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 tells us, learn how to take our thoughts this morning captive. Thoughts are very, very important. Don't let negative thoughts lodge within you. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, if we think a lot of negative thoughts and we dwell on those things, eventually they affect our heart and they eventually come out in one way or another. To be carnally minded is death this morning, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Purity of thought. And that, of course, affects our speech. If I could talk a little bit about purity of speech. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Ephesians 5, verse 4. Neither foolishness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. You know, the things that we do in life, the choices that we make, affect our heart, if I can say it that way. You know, I wouldn't mind at least at some point here talking a little bit about purity as it relates to the things that we wear. However far we ought to go with that, I don't plan to talk a lot about that. But you know, the things that we do, the things that we wear, the thoughts that we think, they do affect us spiritually. I believe the choices that we make, I believe in the heart. And I believe it should come out of the heart. And I believe the heart makes all the difference. And God forbid that we ever stop preaching about having a righteous, purified heart by the blood of Jesus. That makes all the difference. And out of that, we should make the choices in life that we make. But I also believe, if you're a Christian, washed by the blood of Jesus, changed, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you begin compromising in areas, you begin letting your conscience get just a little murky and cloudy, and you know that what I'm doing here, my parents don't really approve of, but they're probably not going to say anything, so I'm going to do it. I would like to ask us this morning, when we begin responding to life that way, are we moving toward the light? Or are we moving toward the gray? I don't want to lift up an idealistic Christianity this morning that isn't attainable, but I would like to lift up an idealism that is beautiful and that we have a clear heaven over our life, and it's beautiful. But I do believe when a soul begins moving that way and just a little bit more that way and a little bit more on the edge and a little bit more over here, and we begin moving a little bit more over here, and after a while we get accustomed to that, And then we live, and you know, life is okay, and there's other people that are doing it, and then we move over here a little bit more. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I can't say I never did that. And we begin getting comfortable, when we get comfortable, and after a while we start getting used to the dark, and after a while we may begin forgetting who we are, and begin responding to life like that. And we end up making bad choices. And one day, you know, it's sad for me to think of it, but one day there's potential that some of you could be where that man is sitting with a broken wife and off with another woman. That's just where it goes. I'd like to give us encouragement this morning. That's why I gave the title I did, Seeing God. You know, you can live your life seeing God. That's the takeaway for this morning that I want you to take home. Every last one of you young people who are facing the battles of life and you're trying to find your way, I want to give you encouragement this morning that you can live your life seeing God. And I wish I could stand up here saying, oh, my Christian life was all that way. I always saw God as clear, blah, 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 blah. Can't say that. I had my own failures. But I can say, by the grace of God, I see God this morning. That can be every one of your testimonies this morning. You know, the things that we do make a difference. Yes, justified by the blood of Jesus, there's no other way to get there. But the choices that we make in life make a difference. And I'm convinced, in fact, I don't know what else to call it, when there are so many who have stood here and stood in other churches and stood at our Bible schools and came up front, testified of a clear conversion, the radiance on their faces told no other story than it happened. And then a year down the road, another year down the road, another year down the road, and tragedies. The encouragement this morning is that doesn't have to be the testimony of one of you. That doesn't have to be the testimony of one of you. Social relationships, if I could just talk about that a little bit. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Just be like Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If I could encourage you young people this morning with that. Found in a foreign land. Everything foreign around them. Sometimes you'll find that your experience. Maybe in the workplace. Maybe in another church. Maybe in wherever life takes you. Be a Daniel. Stand up. True to your God. In whatever social relationships you have. Be willing to stand up and be different. If I could even say it this far. If you live in a home and you live in a family, my children do. I have certain expectations in my home that maybe some of you don't have. Maybe they're not necessarily biblical. Biblical, yes, but thus saith the Lord in Scripture, where because of a principle in the Word of God, I choose to do it this way in my home. And we do it and we have an expectation. And maybe so-and-so down the road has something different. But isn't it a blessing to just embrace it? Purity. Purity in relating to the opposite gender. We could talk a long time about that. Purity is so important. Purity as it relates to the clothing that we wear. And the ways that we dress. It does affect our spiritual life. Does affect it. You know, I don't know why it is, but so often that's a touchy one. But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be a touchy one. It can be a, okay, Mom, okay, Dad, I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear what you have to say. Talk to me. Isn't that a blessing? Parents, isn't that a blessing when that happens? Young people, that's a blessing. We don't have to live in the gray. Purity in whatever recreation and leisure we have. We could talk about this one a long time. The things we do and its effect. This week I was at the doctor for an MRI relating to my shoulder, and I walked out of there and I walked out through the waiting room that was full of people. There was one person there that was not on their phone. Now, if I would have been sitting there, It's likely I'd have been doing the same thing. But the question is, what are you doing? Is that thing a tool where you're taking care of business or productive things that can be for the good of your own soul? Or is it just frittering time away on things that's taking you closer to the world? The choices we make, the books that we read. And I hope nobody's watching movies. But the movies, that whole thing just takes us into the darkness and the gray. The world. We could talk about a lot of those things that take us to the gray. Is my heart pure this morning? Do I see God? Do I see the world for what it is? This will be our concluding verse. If you'll turn to 1 Peter. I should have maybe brought this up earlier. 2 Peter, I'm sorry. I don't mean this to be any kind of a negative message. This message is simply to be an encouraging message to all of us this morning that we can live a life of seeing God. That's what the testimony of Moses was. Even though Moses did not see God like Isaiah saw God, he saw God by faith. And he lived in that. And this morning, that is what I'm lifting out to all of us. We can live a life of seeing God. You can live a life of that openness, seeing God. This is an amazing verse that just really ought this morning to arrest our attention in 1 Peter 2, beginning at verse 20. I'm sorry, 2 Peter 2, beginning at verse 20. Actually, I'll read back up to start at 19. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Doesn't that sound like the world? The world promises all kinds of things, doesn't it? Fun. Servants of corruption, of whom a man is overcome, of the same is brought into bondage. For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. And the latter end is what? Worse than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. May that not be the testimony of any here this morning. The choices that we make do make a difference. Seeing God. You know, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know what blesses me? When I hear the testimony. And I know we have a number of elderly here in our room. And two of them gone, even though not regular attenders here, gone, ready to meet the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. At some point in life, dear brother James Kleinsalzer came to the point where he put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and he believed in God. And you know, it blessed me as he was going through this downtime of his health here several months ago. This testimony, I'm ready to meet the Lord. A pure heart, seeing God, nothing between. Somehow we seem to think, well, that's for the older that maybe won't be with us so long anymore. But you know, all of us this morning can see God. This morning, do you have spiritual vision? 2020. I said that'll be the verse I'll close with. I'd like to close with a different verse. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. In this subject, and I'll wrap it up with this verse. Hebrews chapter 12. One and two. Favorite verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. These verses talk about laying aside weights and the sins that does so easily beset us. And what does it say next? Lay aside those weights and those sins. Then we get 20/20 vision. Then what do we see? Looking unto Jesus, the author, not only the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame, and is set down this morning at the right hand of the throne of God. If we want to have 20/20 vision, you know, this morning, when I got up early this morning and I was seeking God with all the practicalities of what all am I going to say this morning, I just had an incredible burden. And I can't see into your hearts, but God can. And at what point the Christian, after he had that experience and that encounter with Jesus, begins living in the gray, where he begins to jeopardize his own soul, that we let into the hands of God. That we let into the hands of God this morning. But I'd like to encourage all of us this morning, if you find yourself living in the gray, don't stay there. Don't stay there. The future there is dark. This morning, we can see Jesus. I don't know, with the burden that God gave me this morning and the subject, as I thought of the congregation, I want to relieve myself. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. If you know that you're living in the gray, and you know that I can't see Jesus clearly, I have this issue. Maybe it's with my parents, between my parents and I. Maybe it's between siblings. Maybe it's a parent this morning. And you're like that friend of mine. And you have those things and you're all bound up and you don't know what to do with it. There is hope. Don't just live like it's not there. Take the lid off of it this morning. I don't know this morning who it is that could be living in the gray. I don't know this morning who it is as a young person where you know things aren't well. You used to have a clear heart, and that clearing just isn't working anymore. And you're no longer accountable to mom and dad to clear your heart. It's only God that can do it. It's only Jesus Christ this morning that can do it. Or maybe this morning you're one of those young people that you have committed your life to the Lord and you have had wrong responses in life and made some bad choices, and you don't have that testimony that James has that says, if it's today, I'm ready. Just make it real. I don't want to play with anybody and unsettle anybody that should be settled. I realize that can also be a reality with the extra tender conscience. But this morning, I would be blessed just to give you an opportunity. Ken, are you leading the singing this morning? Brother Ken, do you have an invitation song that we could sing? Let's stand together. And I would just encourage you this morning, if you are living in the gray and you know that all is not well, you just come forward and kneel down here. We'll sing one verse of song, and if there's no response, I'll turn it back over to Brother Carl. And I would just encourage you that if you didn't have the courage, like me one day, talk to someone. God bless you.
Praise God. The Comforter has come. And I stand amazed in His presence here today as He's spoken to our hearts in such a clear way. And you know, the two messages that we heard tie right together, as the Holy Spirit does so often for us. Do you love Him the way Mary loved Him? And that love is the path to a pure heart. I had to think of a song, as our brother was sharing, 695 in the Hymns of the Church, "Keep Thyself Pure." I want to just read these words. Listen carefully. "Keep thyself pure, Christ's soldier, hear. Through life's loud strife, the call rings clear." Do you hear it today? "Thy captain speaks, his word obey. So shall thy strength be as thy day. Keep thyself pure, thrice blessed he, whose heart from taint of sin is free. His feet shall stand where saints have trod. He with rapt eyes shall see his God." Keep thyself pure, for he who died, himself for thy sake sanctified. Then hear him speaking from the skies, and victor o'er temptation rise. O Holy Spirit, keep us pure. Grant us thy strength when sins allure. Our bodies are thy temple, Lord. Be thou in thought and act adored. Brothers and sisters, he is our victory. He is our purity. Is your heart fully committed and sold out to him? I really don't think there is such a thing as an atheist. There's people who claim to be atheists. And you know, I'm still waiting to meet one who doesn't come from a position of wounded Christianity. And I've concluded that there's two reasons, and maybe there's more, but I've identified two primary reasons why people choose to be atheists or claim to be atheists. And it's a choice they make. And those two choices both have to do with getting their eyes off of a committed love for Jesus. The one reason is because they love something else in this life that is incompatible with an accountability to God. And so they have to try and deny that God is real so that they can have this other love. And I think that's a frequent one. Maybe it was a factor in the example Brian gave, I don't know. But the second reason that often I find is that people are trying to get away from something that has hurt them or that they've identified as not good and not godly. And then you'll hear this thing: if that's how Christians are, I don't want to be one. I don't believe God exists, because if that's how Christians are, God's not real. And I've heard that statement numerous times. In fact, I'm going to tell you that has shadowed my own heart at times in my life close enough to know the incredible pull that it has to make us want to take our eyes off of who Jesus is. But when we can do what we heard this morning and focus in on who Jesus is, his call to our hearts, and what he has done, brothers and sisters, it calls us above religion. It calls us above all of the selfish chaos of this world. And it calls us into a life of purity and holiness that is about him and his reflection in our lives. And that's what he wants for each one of us. I saw something there in Isaiah this morning when our brother read those words out of Isaiah 6 that I had never seen before, as Isaiah was, you know, in his prophecy, sharing this vision that had come to him. He said, "Woe is me, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." And you know, I think in our flesh so many times that's how we feel. I just can't do this. I can't rise above. My heart's unclean. No matter how hard I try, it's not good enough. I can't do this. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I know so many other people too that just aren't real. Then flew one of the seraphims, and he had a live coal in his hand. He'd taken it off the altar, and he laid it on my mouth, and he said, "Lo, this has touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." And you know, when I saw that, I saw something beautiful there. It's not about what you or I are going to do in our own willpower, but it is a choice we make to allow that coal to touch our lips and touch our heart. Will we open up to him in that way? And you know what? It's nothing he can't do. Your iniquity will be purged. And that's what Lee told me on Thursday or Friday when I talked to him. He said, "God did something in my heart Tuesday that I've never had before." He said, "I do believe I had the Holy Spirit way back there when I first surrendered my life to God." And of course, his journey's been very bumpy. But he said, "Tuesday night, God got a hold of me in a way I've never felt before." And he said, "I took the rest of the drugs that I had left. I literally flushed them down the toilet." And of course, it's only been 3 days, but as of Friday, he hadn't looked back. So God is able to do that. And I thought of Sister Betty's testimony. I guess she's not here this morning. But, you know, her testimony was that. And it can be that for each one of us. It doesn't matter what our issues and challenges are. The Holy Spirit is up to the task. The question is whether we'll just simply open ourselves to him. So why do you do the things you do? What do you do with the things that you struggle with? Will you love him as Mary loved him? All right, much more could be said, but I'll give opportunity here. If there's any of you have something on your heart you'd like to share, and even if you have a confession that you'd like to make, maybe you didn't have the courage to come up, but our congregation needs to be a place where it's safe to say, "I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that." And you won't be judged for that. We want to come beside and help when that's where we're at. But let's be a congregation of believers that can be real and genuine in our pursuit of a love for Jesus Christ. That's the path to victory and holiness. What do you have to share, any of you? Word of testimony, encouragement, confession, anything? Sister Susie over here.
I was deeply encouraged this morning, and I had my cup turned over. I took it all in, and I thank you, thank everyone for sharing. But Brother Mark, the children's lesson motivated me to share something, share a story that really happened. A couple of years ago, James had sheep, and him and I went, I just rode with him to where he could feed the sheep. And as we went down to the farm where there were, the sheep were not there. They were back in the wilderness. Could not be seen. And I says, "Where are the sheep?" He says, "Oh, they're way back. I have to call them." So he called the sheep. He had a way of calling them, and they all came running. They knew that he had food for them. So they all came running out of the woods, out of the wilderness, for their food. And I was so amazed by that example. I was thinking about how the Lord calls us to feed us. So I was so intrigued by that. And a couple of days later, I went with him again. I says, "Can I call the sheep this time?" And he says, "Yes, yes, you may." So I called. I did the same, used the same techniques he did. They didn't come. They did not recognize my voice. I was not their shepherd. So that really, really spoke to me.
Amen.
My greatest desire is to follow that voice Amen. Of the shepherd.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, sister. Anyone else? Okay, back to Brother James.
That done a lot to me today, but I was thinking a lot about the youth. I just want to share, youth, don't wait too long till I did what I did. I waited too long, but the Lord helped me to overcome my sins and unrighteousness. And I tell you, I'm not perfect. I still got struggle with little things, but the Lord is always there to help. But the Amen. Youth, if they don't start when they're young, it's so much harder when you get older. And some of them, maybe down the road, it's going to be worse and worse. And if you don't change it now and listen to the parents and listen to the minister with what we have, it won't turn out good. I'm just warning you, all of you, the youth that are growing up. I waited too long, but it was a lot harder for me to overcome.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Love the Lord.
Amen. Thank you for that, brother. Good word.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.